The gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus got the news, he slipped away by boat to an out-of-the-way place by himself. But unsuccessfully, someone saw him and the word got round. Soon, a lot of people from the nearby villages walked around the lake to where he was. When he saw them coming, he was overcome with pity and healed their sick. Toward evening, the disciples approached him. "We're out in the country and it's getting late. Dismiss the people so they can go to the villages and get some supper." But Jesus said, "There's no need to dismiss them. You give them supper." "All we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they said. Jesus said, "Bring them here." Then he had the people sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples. The disciples then gave the food to the congregation. They all ate their fill. They gathered 12 baskets of leftovers, and about 5,000 were fed. This is the gospel of Christ.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 to 16. On the 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt, the whole company of Israel moved on from Elim to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. The whole company of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron there in the wilderness. The Israelites said, "Why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt, where we had lamb's stew and all the bread we could eat? You brought us out into the wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel." God said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you. The people will go out and gather each day's ration. I'm going to test them to see if they'll live according to my teaching or not. On the 6th day, when they prepare what they have gathered, it will turn out to be twice as much as their daily ration." Moses and Aaron told the people of Israel, "This evening you will know that it is God who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of God. Yes, he's listened to your complaints against him. You haven't been complaining against us, you know, but against God." Moses said, "Since it will be God who gives you meat for your meal in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, it's God who will have listened to your complaints against him. Who are we in all of this? You haven't been complaining to us, you've been complaining to God." Moses instructed Aaron, "Tell the whole company of Israel, come near to God. He's heard your complaints." When Aaron gave out the instruction to the whole company of Israel, they turned to face the wilderness. And there it was, the glory of God, visible in the cloud. God spoke to Moses, "I've listened to the complaints of the Israelites. Now tell them, at dusk you will eat meat, and at dawn, you'll eat your fill of bread, and you'll realize that I am God, your God." That evening, quail flew in and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew all over the camp. When the layer of dew had lifted, there on the wilderness ground was a fine, flaky something, fine as frost on the ground. The Israelites took one look and said to one another, "What is it?" They had no idea what it was. So Moses told them, "It's the bread God has given to you. And these are God's instructions. Gather enough for each person, about 2 quarts per person. Gather enough for everyone in your tent." Hear the word of the Lord. I have the pleasure of introducing our speakers this morning. And I was pleasantly surprised that I know Katie from Out of the Cold. She worked with Dennis for the Trinity United Out of the Cold program. But this morning, Katie and her husband Adam are here as two of more than 2,000 people that choose to donate their time, talents, to help the food bank of the Waterloo region. They will be telling us about the food bank, what it is, who it helps, and how our support makes this community stronger. Please help me welcome Katie and Adam.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us here today. We're honored to be able to come and talk to you on behalf of the food bank and share with you some information about what the food bank is doing in this community. As Linda mentioned, my name is Katie, and this is my husband, Adam, and we are volunteers with the food bank. Our family volunteers with the food bank because we believe that in our community, no one should be hungry. We also both work in professions where we see firsthand the impact of hunger, and we believe that the food bank is truly making a difference to those families and individuals. Last month, the food bank hosted an event to educate the community on destroying some of the myths around the food bank. Many people have misconceptions regarding who needs food, and we want to help break down those misconceptions, and we want people in our community to better understand who it is that needs our help and why they are food insecure. In saying this, I'd like to show you a video of Lena's story. This video is called Food Builds Futures. Lena is a successful young local businesswoman whose family needed food assistance when she was growing up. Now, many years later, she has started a successful innovative business and runs a successful charity fundraiser. She gives back to the community in many ways. So here is Lena, owner of Artline Studio.
Good morning, everyone. And the message there from Lena, I know she wanted to be here today. She usually speaks on behalf of us when we're showing her video, but unfortunately she's in France right now doing a show for the hair and the fashion world. So she unfortunately sends her regrets. So with that, my wife and I, Katie, we're talking about what we're trying to get through from the food bank right now is some of the misconceptions around who uses the food bank, why we exist, and what we do, and how we help the community. Just a brief little background. The food bank in Waterloo Region started off in the 1980s when the economy was not doing so well in a recession, and it was started up as a temporary support to help people that were either unemployed or gainfully underemployed to help get through the period of the recession. Well, the recession came and went, and the need stayed, and the food bank kept growing. There was a bigger uptake in 2008 when the economy took a bit of a dive there as well again. And within Waterloo Region, our food bank has grown. And since the 1980s, we bounce back and forth between being the second and third largest food bank in the country, which is fantastic because it allows us to support a lot of people. But at the same time, it's getting bigger because the number of people that we need to support is getting bigger as well, which is something that people, when they think of Waterloo Region, they don't think of being one of the largest food banks. But unfortunately, that's where we are at this point. Now, the food bank itself, how we work in terms of some of the misconceptions about food banks and how they operate. There are some like the Cambridge Self-Help Food Bank, which are your more probably traditional viewed. People who need food or need support would go there to go pick what they need and then take it home and then and carry on with their day. The way the Food Bank of Waterloo Region operates is it goes off the Division and Specialization of Labor. We support, the number changes, but it's around 78 organizations within the community, which we spread that out even more, ends up being about 100 different food-based programs in the community. So the way the food bank approached it was organizations in the community that are good at their certain areas, focus on that. If you're good at helping abused women, focus on that. If you're good at helping people find employment, focus on that. Research has shown that people being hungry is very rarely the cause of a problem. It's a symptom of something larger. It's a symptom of something else. So the way the food bank is operated now is let us focus on that. We'll do the advertising. We'll collect. We'll distribute. we'll take that, pardon the pun, off the table, and let you focus on what you are good at and continue to do that. So with that, the food bank now, it's a 30,000 square foot facility in Kitchener. We've got refrigerators, freezers so large you could back an 18-wheeler, 52-foot truck into. Like I mentioned, we're supporting 70-plus agencies, 100 programs. They come to us. So they'll send us orders, and they'll say, here are the people we're supporting now. Here's what they need. And then we cross-reference that off of our database. It's a pretty fantastic process. If you ever want to come down to the food bank and look at it, I would encourage any of you to make an appointment to come down, because my wife and I, we also do tours. So in terms of who's using the food bank now, I know we saw that video in Germany of the homeless man, and certainly the homeless are people that are partaking in the services that the food bank offers and the agencies that we support. But in this community, by and large, the people that are needing the food bank are people who are working. They're people who are, truth be told, there probably could be people here that are utilizing the food bank and you would have no idea. They're people that are living paycheck to paycheck. A lot of the people we're finding that are needing support are people who are, they got laid off from their job, or they've been sick and haven't been able to work, and two paychecks down the road, they're in a tough spot. Most of the people who are using the food bank, using it on an emergency basis. You got to check a lot of pride to be able to go in and offer and to ask for support, to say, I need help right now. People aren't going to stop paying their rent. They can't not pay for their car to get to work. They can't just sell the family pet. There's a whole lot of things that can't just happen. And we realize that. So the food bank is supporting people in these emergency times. That's by and large what we're doing. So it's people who are underemployed, people who are unemployed, lost their jobs. About 7% of the people we're supporting are seniors, as well as the families that we're dealing with. As I mentioned in the video, about 49% of all the families we support, it's children who are some of our largest benefactors of the work that we're doing. Now, as I mentioned, with our food bank being as large as it is, it enables us to do more than a lot of other food banks can. Most food banks focus strictly on non-perishable food items, so your pastas, your Kraft dinners, your peanut butters, things like that. We have refrigerators, we have freezers, and we have other programs that we run as well, that we're not just distributing food collected by the community. We also have connections with the local grocery stores, where we send trucks out every day to the primarily Loblaws at this point to collect food that they are no longer selling, but is perfectly edible to the general community. It's just that lettuce that maybe is a little bit wealthy, or that cheese where they're saying, well, it's getting close to the expiration date, so we're probably not going to charge people full price to sell it. So we have six different trucks that are on the road every day. You'll probably see them driving around the community that are going to grocery stores. When organizations run big food drives, we're sending trucks out to go collect. As well, being such a large food bank, we have resources to share with other food banks within the province. So being KW, we're very, very lucky to have, it's dwindling away now, but we've had Schneider's, who traditionally would donate a lot of meat to us. We have Dare, we have with cookies and other crackers and baked goods. We have an enormous amount of that, of those types of resources. And places like the food bank in Hamilton tends to have a lot of rice. They got lots of rice production out there and rice processing. So we would swap with them and say, listen, our community is in need of this, your community is in need of that. We pay to put drivers and trucks on the road to be able to share, to make sure that our community is getting what they need and that we're not wasting resources on things that they don't. So we're very, very, very mindful of that. That being said, the one thing we do let people know in the community, for the people we're supporting, every ounce of food that is raised in the community stays in the community. The only resources we're sharing back and forth are our corporate donations or things that come from outside of the area. So all food that has been brought in today and continues to be brought in, that will all stay within the Waterloo region to help people within the Waterloo region. Food is fantastic. I think there's a little list there. It says some of the top needed things we're always looking for. When it comes to the food that we're trying to acquire, we're looking for things that are nutritious, healthy, and ideally are ticking off as much of the boxes of the Canada Food Guide as possible. So people think that if you're lower income, you're looking at eating McDonald's and fast food because it's a cheaper way to eat. When you look at it, that $6 Big Mac, that's 600 calories, where you can spend a dollar and get a bag of pasta, which is going to be 1,300 calories and last you a whole lot longer. So we're looking for food that are things that people in their own homes are going to eat. Pastas are fantastic. Macaroni and cheese. Peanut butter is one that we're always in the search for, especially for children. It costs a bit more than what most people tend to spend on food bank items, as well as things like canned stews, canned meats and vegetables, because when you look at those, that's a whole meal ready to go in a can for a couple of bucks. And those are all things that we're very much looking for, as well as on the financial side, as I mentioned, that $20 can feed a family of four for 2 weeks. Is the buying power that the Food Bank of Waterloo Region has. Roughly, it equates out to $1 will produce three meals for people in the community, which ends up being about a $1 to $7 ratio. So every dollar that's donated to the community, we can translate that into $7 worth of food, which also, the money also goes to keeping the lights on in the facility. A food bank of our size, about 28,000 families we're supporting every year. We run that with about 10 people in the office. Which is absolutely fantastic. So the food bank is doing tons of great work in the community. Thank you all very much for your support. I know my wife has a bit more that she would like to talk about as well. Please keep the donations coming. This tends to be a busy time of year for us with Christmas and Thanksgiving and all the drives we have, but the need does continue into the winter, into the spring, into the summer. The need never ends, that people who are hungry, they tend to be hungry. If they're hungry today, they're probably hungry tomorrow. So thank you all very much for all your support and for having us here.
So again, as Adam said, thank you for your support. I understand that this is a congregation that's donated in the past, and I understand there's lots more donations coming today. I think there was a birthday party where there was even more donations, and that's wonderful. We do that in our family for birthdays at sometimes as well, that instead of gifts or cards, we collect for the food bank. So that's wonderful. Thank you. As Adam mentioned, these misconceptions around who's using the food bank, I hope we've been able to clarify some of that for you today, that it is really your neighbors that are using it. Sometimes it's unexpected job loss, critical illness, bad investments, relationship breakups. Those are some of the reasons that our neighbors would need to use the food bank. And from Adam and I and the food bank, thank you so much for your time and hearing this information today, but also your donations. And thank you.